Hey, it's Alan Lamberti, WB 108, Connecticut's best music variety, and I'm privileged to be speaking with a Grammy Award winner, a singer-songwriter, 15 albums, an author, also a radio host, an eyewear designer, and I think you've heard that pretty much before every interview that you've done in the last however many years.
Yes, I've been hearing a lot, and it makes me so tired to think about it. I'm just going about doing my things, and then when I hear it all listed like that, I'm like, oh, I need a breath. I just need to take a breath.
Well, you know, one of my things that I was going to bring up is looking at your social media, how just busy you are. It seems like you are always literally doing something, or you're traveling somewhere. You're always performing. How are you able to do so many things?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually, one of my big goals this year, I did a retreat where I thought about, you know, my life and my work and my family and what I want to do when I grow up. And I said, you know, I needed to spend more time. I just need more space in my schedule. And that didn't happen at all. Because, you know, I'll get a call for, like right now. I got a call from a friend, Debbie Derryberry, who's this great voiceover artist.
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
Neutron and a bunch of other people. And she's so talented. She's like, hey, Lisa, I'm making music. You know, she started off as a musician. She's like, I'm making music. Do you want to do a song together? I'm like, yeah, great. And it just sounded like a fun afternoon. And then before I know it, it's multiple afternoons, which are still very fun. And we're writing and we're mixing and we're recording. And then we're talking about videos. And then we're talking about more mixing. You know, everything, the little tiny yeses, like, oh, yeah, that'd be fun to work with. There's an artist I'm working with in another country, which I'm not going to say yet which, because the song will come out and it'll be very exciting. But anyway, it was just like, oh, it'll be like a little thing. And then it's multiple days of things. And then you're like, oh, but we could also do this. Like, it always leads to more. And there's so many things I have on my plate. Plus, I think the field that I'm in, I think a lot of us are used to, you know, one thing might be coming out, but you're already working on two or three other things. That's just the way things work. I don't know. I'm just used to it, I guess.
And I mean, so when you hit it big with Stay, you were an independent artist. You did it, and you did it all on your own. And you kind of are still doing that. You're doing the mixing yourself. It's your own studio.
No. I've always been independent in that I know what I want to make, and I'm making it. And I find people to collaborate with. Sometimes I work with major labels. Sometimes I work with small labels. Sometimes I just work with my own team. I'm just involved in every aspect of everything, but I collaborate a lot. Like when we make music videos, I'm working with the director, to edit and to shoot and everything. But I like collaborating with people. Doing everything yourself is just, it's just too exhausting, especially when you're a mom with kids. But yeah, I like finding people I like to work with. I've worked with a lot of people that in my team for years and years and years. And so I think that's really important to have people that you can bend their ear. You know, I can be out playing a concert and somebody else might be making a phone call for me or something. I don't know. That's not a very exciting example, but you get the drift.
No, I do. I mean, it's incredible what you've been able to do and what you're still doing. And as we said, you're kind of just going nonstop.
Yeah, and I think also I have so many great, I'm really lucky. You know, I have a lot of great opportunities and I know a lot of really interesting people. And everywhere I go, whether it's on an airplane or like I was playing in a fundraiser the other night for No Kid Hungry, where they feed kids all over the country. And I got to meet all these really neat chefs. And they're like, yeah, come with us to Italy. I'm like, well, maybe I will. Or, you know, meet somebody who runs the Academy Museum in Los Angeles. Just really interesting things and interesting people. And it can lead to fun things or family things or work things. Or a combination of all of them. So I'm lucky. I get a lot of people come to me with interesting ideas or opportunities, and I get to do what I love, and I come up with a lot of ideas myself.
And I would imagine you have your own professional relationships and friendships, but just fans and people that would recognize you. You obviously have a distinctive look, you know, I think people instantly, you're probably somebody when they see you, they know exactly who you are.
Yes, it's a good amount of knowing. I don't know what that word is. Notoriety. That's not the right word.
No, not notoriety. But
like, you know, I'll be on an airplane and somebody might notice me. But it's not crazy. It's just like I feel like I'm always at a wedding or something where I know a good handful of the people. It's very friendly. It's a very friendly relationship with people I don't know.
Well, that's fun. Well, the reason we're chatting today is because you're about to kick off a tour, and you're going to kick it off in our neck of the woods next week, Wednesday, May 1st, at the Ridgefield Playhouse. It's with Lyle Lovett in conversation and song. And this is a short tour. It looks like it's about 2-3 weeks, and we get night number one. So, initially, how did this come about, and what can we expect?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say it's a short tour, too, because for a mom, it's a long tour. And for a musician, it's a relatively short tour. But, you know, my kids are like, where are you going and why will you be gone so long? Homework must get done. Breakfasts must be made. But Lyle and I, actually, we met each other years ago. I was a fan of his in college. He's such a great sort of singer-songwriter, a little country, but great sense of humor and wonderful songwriter. And then I had the opportunity to open for him when he put out his Road to Ensenada album, which is a beautiful album, which I really love. And so I got to tour with him back in like 1996 or so, around 1996, 97. And so I've known him since then. And during COVID times, he did this great series where it was just, he would play songs and he would have a split screen and have another artist like, you know, Sean Colvin or whoever singing, and they would talk and each play songs. And that's kind of what this is. And it's just such a fun way to hang out, play music. Every night's going to be different. It's just something that both of us love doing, and it totally made sense.
And you both have the same initials, so it works alliteratively, too.
Yes. Yeah, we decided to do merch with just LL on them. We should. We really should, actually.
Well, then you split it evenly.
Exactly. Like, that was a little bit more of my LL.
that's very cool. So the plan is to share the stage, the in-conversation part is to share stories, I would imagine.
Yeah, tell stories. Talk about the songs. You know, both of us are fairly talkative. I'm sure we'll be talking to each other. And then hopefully we'll have to remember that the audience is still there. But I think it's going to be really cool because I know that my fans are big. They are fans of listening and I think Lyle's music will grab them immediately. And hopefully the same will be true the other way around. You know, hopefully people will enjoy hearing a couple of songs from me, a couple of songs from him, all the stories. I think it'll be really fun.
And the tickets are available, ridgefieldplayhouse.org. The show is on Wednesday night, May 1st. And 3 weeks from today, we are approaching a big anniversary. I don't know if you know the exact date, but obviously it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Stay, the release, the single release.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the exact date. In my mind, it's August, but I think that's when it went to number one.
Yes.
Which was so exciting. But at the time, wow, back in 1994, that was like a really big deal. I had been working for so long and so hard to be a professional musician, and it was all coming together slowly but surely a couple years after college. And then my song, Ethan Hawke helped me get my song in the Reality Bites soundtrack. He asked me for a copy of my song, and we had just recorded it for a demo deal for a major label, wanted to hear some more of my music. And so I had just recorded a couple versions of it, and we passed it along on a cassette tape. It was the 90s. And he passed it along to Ben Stiller and the other folks who were in charge of putting music on the soundtrack. Music was so important in movies. It still is, but in the 90s, it was continuing to be a really big deal. So I was really lucky to have the song on the soundtrack. I stayed an independent artist. I did not sign to a deal back then. I had a very good attorney because I really wanted a lot of creative control in my career, and that set me up, continued to set me up for success in that way. But yeah, then a radio station started playing the song on the radio down in Houston, and I guess that's when the single officially came out, was when they started playing it.
That's it's an incredible story, and from what I understand, and obviously you can confirm it, the idea was it was originally written for Daryl Hall or possibly for him?
Yeah, I was trying to write a song for Daryl Hall because I heard through my music business people that Daryl Hall was looking for songs for his solo record, which he really writes most of his own music. But I thought, oh, I should try to write a song for Daryl Hall. So I was trying to write kind of an R&B, kind of old school Hall & Oates song. When I started out, a little bit during the process, I found out that that wasn't actually going to happen. So I went ahead and finished the song myself. But I originally tried to write it for Daryl Hall.
And just a couple of months ago, I know you were on his program, Live from Daryl's House.
Yeah.
Is that the first time Is that the first time you had either connected, or is that the first time he was able to perform it? You know,
that was the first time he was able to perform it with me. You know, we connected way early on. I got to go backstage at a Hall & Oates concert at Jones Beach, and I got to meet Daryl Hall and John Oates and tell them the story, and that was really cool. And then later, I think they came to see me in Japan, and I saw them, and I've seen them all over the place, but so we were able to connect along the way. But this was the first time finally, you know, it was sort of a dream come true being able to do that, show, because also his band is amazing, and I got to sing some of his music, and it was just, oh my God, it was so cool.
It came full circle.
It really did. And we're not done yet. Friendship lives on.
That's right. Oh, that's excellent. We're chatting with Lisa Loeb, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse next week, Wednesday, May 1st, with Lyle Lovett in conversation and song. And the Ridgefield Playhouse is in our backyard, which is not too far from Stamford. And I'm about to get to a point, if you just bear with me for 1 second. I understand in the big introduction that I did for you, I didn't include you have a love for puzzles and crossword puzzles. Do you know that about a week ago, the American Crossword Championships happened right here in Connecticut, in Stamford?
Oh, it did? You know, my friend AJ Jacobs, who's written a lot about puzzles, I wonder if he had anything to do with that.
Well,
I
believe it's Will
so
Shorts.
I'm not the best one in the world, but I love doing it. Yeah, Will Short.
He started it, like, in Stamford, which is only about 5 miles from, you know, maybe 10 miles, really, from Ridgefield.
I know Stamford. I had cousins from Stamford, Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Stamford Marriott, next time you have a family reunion, because they do it. He started it here like 46 years ago, and it was like 10 people. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about 2 weeks ago, it was 750 competitors, and he still does it all these years later.
I think that's so exciting. I love getting people together like that. That size. Hold on 1 second. It's funny too, because puzzlers, they like to stick together. And I got to write a puzzle once for the New York Times. Will Shorts emailed me, and I almost died. I was like, I can't believe he's emailing me. But he was putting together musicians and other people to write puzzles with professionals. So I got to write with Doug Peterson, who's a great puzzler who writes great puzzles. And we got to work at my kitchen table, and it was kind of like writing a song. And it was really cool to see how a puzzle is written. And we did that together, and it came out in the New York Times, and it was very exciting.
Well, that's the creme de la creme. That's the way to do it.
It really is. Yeah. It wasn't the most difficult. I feel like it was a Tuesday, but anyway, it was really fun.
Sunday's the hardest, right?
Saturday's the hardest.
Oh, Saturday?
Sunday's like a Thursday. It's like sort of hard, but challenging, but you can do it.
I feel like that's a song title. Sunday's like a Thursday.
Sounds like a Cure song, yeah. I love it.
Earlier, you mentioned you have a friend, Debbie Derryberry. She's a voice actress. I was always a big fan of it when it was on MTV, and that was the first time I kind of noticed that you were doing things other than music. You were the voice of Mary Jane on the Spider-Man cartoon. How did that come about?
I'm a voiceover artist. So I think also back in the day when I did the MTV Spider-Man series, they like to look for actors and musicians who might be able to do it. But way back in the day, oh gosh, over 20 years ago, Hallmark asked if I would sing a commercial. And I said I would sing it, but I also wanted to say it because I come from an acting. I'm an actor. I come from an acting background. I studied a lot of acting in school and in college and stuff like that. And continue to do that. But so I said I wanted to do the voice as well, and that worked for them. And that went so well that became the beginning of my voiceover artist career as well. So it made sense. I was a musician who they knew, and I also was a professional voiceover artist.
Makes sense. That's that was always a cool cartoon. It was the animation was sort of ahead of its time, and they did bring it back on Disney Plus about a year ago, but then they took it down, and it just makes me mad.
Yeah, it was a short series. It was a short series. It had Ian Theory and a bunch of different people were on that. I met a bunch of people when I was doing that.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, your career is so prolific, and we really can't wait to see you next week. It's going to be an awesome time with Lyle Lovett at the Ridgefield Playhouse, Lisa Loeb in conversation and song. Tickets available at ridgefieldplayhouse.org. And I appreciate your patience. I apologize for the phone number mix-up.
Oh, it's okay. I got to talk to a guy that sounded like I was waking him up, so that's always fun.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun next week when you come to town, and we're really excited for it.
Yeah, and if anybody has any particular songs they want to hear, I was a big fan of music, and I still am, but a big fan of music growing up, and I was always hoping that, like, the Police or David Bowie would see me in the back and when I was yelling out an album track for them to sing. So if there's any particular songs that you might be interested in hearing, let me know on my socials, at Lisa Loeb, and maybe I can play one of your songs.
Excellent. That would be awesome. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Really fun. Thank you.
Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
See you then. I look forward to it.